Today's scripture reading, first scripture reading, comes from Paul's letter to the Galatians, from Galatians chapter 5. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you are called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you as I warned you before those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The second reading from the Bible is from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke, chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. Hear these words. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them. Then he went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, Follow me. But he said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today, as you may know, if the hints are not strong enough, is Independence Sunday. So named because it's the closest Sunday on the calendar before July 4th. So this Wednesday, July 4th, is a day that has special meaning for the American people. The 4th of July is a day that we celebrate our independence from Great Britain in 1776. And I had to get my calculator out. That's 231 years ago. Well, as it turns out, the 4th of July has special meaning for the Tongan people as well. This day is the festival of Halala and the celebration of King Tupou IV's birthday. So we see that this same day has very different meanings for people of different cultures. But today, though, I want you to think about the American meaning and significance of Independence Sunday. Well, the hat that I'm wearing that you've been looking at comes from Colonial Williamsburg, which is today the reconstructed colonial city in Southern Virginia. But in the early 1700s, Williamsburg was the capital of the British colony of Virginia. This hat that I'm wearing is called a tri-cornered hat for obvious reasons. It has three corners. And as it turns out, this hat would have been worn quite regularly by men who were members of the Methodist movement in England under John Wesley. In fact, John Wesley himself often wore a hat just like this one. Anyway, in 1776, the Colonial Assembly, the bicameral legislators of Williamsburg, voted to support the independence of those then 13 colonies. And they supported the birth of this brand new nation. The 4th of July and the quality of independence go hand in hand in American culture, and I believe in the American psyche as well. We as a people, as Americans, are very proud of the leaders of 1776 and the courage they displayed in breaking away from King George and the monarchy of England. Americans pride themselves on being independent. Now, just for one example, I want you to think about independence as portrayed in popular cultures, in movies, for example. Think about the action heroes in our movies. Now, depending upon your age, you may or may not recognize some of these movie stars. So going in chronological order, think about Errol Flynn, John Wayne, Arnold Schwarzenegger before he was governor, Sylvester Stallone, Laura Croft, or Bruce Willis. Did I name a movie star you know? Maybe? Each of these people, each of these actors, played characters who were fiercely independent, and I would argue quintessentially American. Think about one of these characters, just one, in your mind's eye, as you consider the description of Jesus from the Gospel of Luke. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Jesus said to the would-be follower, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Can't you just hear John Wayne or Sylvester Stallone or Bruce Willis saying these lines? But this is Jesus Christ sounding mighty independent. Is this who Jesus truly was? Is this who Americans truly are? Is this who we Christians truly are? Now, go with me on this one, because it's kind of strange to put these two together, but I believe when you think about the history of the colonists in this country, the folks who lived in Williamsburg, I believe that there are some strong parallels to the psychological development of any child. Think about this. When those intrepid colonists first came over from Great Britain seeking religious freedom and a new life in the New World, they started out completely dependent upon their mother nation. They returned to England for supplies and for people and for economic support. Just like a little baby who is completely dependent upon her mother and father to meet her every need. As the years went by and the colonists struggled in this new land, they eventually found a way to make it in their own. In time, these colonists realized that they wanted to be independent of the oppressive rule of King George and the Parliament. In similar fashion, every human teenager reaches a place in life when they rebel against the authority of their parents. Every teenager starts a revolution in order to gain their adult independence. As the 13 colonies took stock of their new Declaration of Independence, they soon realized that only in pulling together could they possibly hope to wage a war against the British Empire. The colonists quickly understood that they needed to be interdependent if they hoped to succeed in this revolution. They had to work together. It's not so very different in the growth of a young person. Once a teenager understands that they are finally and fully an adult, they begin to see their family in a new light. A young adult begins to recognize that they are much better off in relying upon their family and their community for support and love and respect. In short, they begin to see the value of interdependence. And I want you to take a look at my hat. I believe that we go from dependence through independence, finally to interdependence. But does it work that way in the life of a new Christian? When someone comes into the church or talks to a veteran Christian, this new person is completely dependent upon them in order to understand the good news of Jesus Christ. Once they understand this life-giving message, this new Christian can become more independent, reading the Bible on their own, attending Bible study or other training classes, working out their own theology in their mind and heart. But as this fledgling Christian looks deeper into the message of the coming kingdom of God, he or she begins to understand that Jesus is calling us into community. Jesus is calling us into a church, into a denomination, into the church universal, and finally into the collective and worldwide body of Christ. Christians are called into a life of interdependence throughout the globe. We are missionary people, called to find our place in the incredible interconnectedness across the pew, across denominations, across town, across the country, and finally all across this big wide world. We are truly interdependent people. We have to be. When you think about the lesson from Luke, it paints a picture of Jesus as fiercely independent. And I think we need to also remember Paul's words from the letter to the Galatians that Ken read. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, however, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. This sounds pretty independent if you ask me. But Paul goes on. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. So now this begins to sound more interdependent. Paul continues, for the whole law is summed up in a single commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You know, that sounds pretty good, but I believe that there is one final and immensely important step as we move further along in our lifetime walk with Jesus. Each of us is at a different point in our journey with the Lord. As a Christian grows and matures, they will move from dependence into independence and finally on to interdependence. But the journey doesn't end there. A Christian ultimately understands that there is one more step. A development that brings them full circle back to where they started, but to a completely different place. A mature Christian finally recognizes that he or she is absolutely dependent upon God. For everything that they own, for everything that they are, for every relationship that they have, indeed for every breath that they take, for the very life that they have, they are completely and absolutely dependent upon the Lord. And so we come full circle from dependence, independence, interdependence, and then again back more fully and more completely to dependence upon God. One final illustration of a Christian life. As we walk through life with Jesus and become the people that God has called us to become, we remember that God has manifested God's self in three persons, the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. And as we work for the fulfillment of God's kingdom on earth, we become one person under God, one church under God, one nation under God, and one worldwide people under God. Let us live in dependence. In the name of Jesus the Christ, I pray that it may be so. Amen.